Hope everybody's doing well. We're getting close to Easter, in case you didn't notice. It is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. When you think about Palm Sunday, what usually comes to mind? Palm branches. Lots of churches that do something with the palm branches, and some kind of excitement. If you know the story about when Jesus, his triumphal entry, when he came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and everyone praised him as the king, king of the Jews, and so on. You'll find that in John chapter 12, in verse 12. It starts off talking about that. Many preachers this morning are going to be preaching right out of this text, John chapter 12, verse 12. My main focus today is going to be chapter 6, but we're going to talk a lot about John chapter 12, so kind of keep your thumb in both of those places as we go along. Last week we talked about sin, if you were here. If you weren't here, I'm assuming that you went and tuned in live or went later and watched it, out of duty, but out of desire to continue to grow along with the rest of the church. Sin is our biggest problem, we said. Remember last week, the biggest problem we'll ever have is sin. And we talked about what sin is and how it affects our relationship with God and the seriousness of the matter. And I think I remember saying to you at the end of before the end of that message that there's going to be some good news in the end. And I hope that I shared that with you thoroughly, or at least enough to get your attention about it. If I did not, then today's message hopefully will do that for you, right? Because when Jesus comes into town on the back of this donkey and everyone's praising him as the king, right? And they're having this big parade and this big celebration because he's entering and he's gonna take his place as king of Israel. It's kind of a... Have you ever had a surprise birthday party for somebody and you found out it's not really their birthday? It's like, oh, we got excited for nothing. But it's not really that, but it's they were excited about the wrong thing because they didn't understand exactly the entirety of his kingdom, right? They didn't realize what was about to happen. They had no way of knowing, aside from all of Scripture and prophecy that told them what was going to happen. But it's hard for us simple-minded people who don't know the mind of God to figure God out at times. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying we shouldn't try to understand God. I'm trying to point out that we don't know the mind of God, so sometimes his plan is much greater than our plan, regardless of what it looks like or feels like. Remember that as we read in Romans 6 here later on. The first part, verse 12 all the way to verse 19, is the description that many preachers are going to read about the triumphal entry of Jesus and how that happened. But I want to get to what happened right after that, because I think that's important as we approach Easter and the celebration of his resurrection, especially as we approach what we call Good Friday coming up. Good Friday sometimes is often either neglected or skipped over unintentionally because it's not Sunday. And we're in the habit of worshiping God on Sunday and learning about God on Sunday. I hope that we're in the habit of learning and worshiping God every day, but something significant happened on Friday. I think you all know what I mean. Growing up, I've heard, not real regular, but I've heard from time to time from some adults in my life, there's going to be a reckoning one day. And it was usually because I was acting out or I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. And the bill is going to come due eventually. Consequences are going to be there. You're going to pay for your actions. As I was trying to be, they were trying to raise me to be a person, hopefully a man one day, but at least a person, right? To do the right things and respect people and stay out of trouble. And if I didn't, there's going to be a reckoning. That means that the bill is going to come due. That's what it means. That's all it means. Things are going to be reconciled. Things are going to come to terms. The agreement that is made in the beginning will come due in the end. In case you didn't know, God is holy. In case you didn't know, God is just. That means he's perfect. That means he's right. There is no wrong in him. Because he's just and holy, it means that he must do certain things about certain things. And last week we talked about sin. And we have to look at what God must do when it comes to his offenses. No way you're going to offend God and his holiness and become his enemy without him doing something about it. And it doesn't change whether he loves you or not. It doesn't change the fact that he loves you or doesn't, or you think he loves you or not. What it changes is how he loves you and how he shows it to you. And only a perfect God can solve the problem and remain just at the same time. The problem of sin, don't forget. The biggest problem of our life. And he can do this because he's also a God who is merciful and kind, right? He's holy and just, but he's merciful and kind. He forgives debt. Because he's holy and just, he has to collect the debt. But because he's merciful and kind, he also forgives the debt. Now, I don't know that it's possible. It may be possible for us to do the same kind of thing amongst each other, but I don't know if we can do it the way God does it. What I mean is, how do we collect the debt and forgive it at the same time? That's the powerful thing about the gospel. That's the powerful thing about what happened on the cross. Look at what he says here. I think I got it on here. Yeah. Look at what he says in John chapter 12, in verse 23 to 28. Jesus is teaching here, right? He came in and on the donkey, everybody's waving their palms and praising him as the king and rightfully lifting him up as the king of Israel, even if they didn't understand what that meant. And then Jesus turns around later and he starts teaching them about the fact that he's about to be killed. Right? How is it? Imagine the impact this would have on the hearts and minds of the people who were lining the streets and putting their cloaks on the ground so that his holiness could walk over without any dirt or mud coming on even to the donkey's feet, because he's the king of Israel. And then he turns around and is like, okay, I'm gonna be killed. I'm going to be crucified. Look what it says. He says this, because there were some Greeks among them, verse 20. I'll back up to verse 20 in John chapter 12. He said, there were some Greeks among them who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Here's the request. We would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And here's Jesus' reply. Jesus says, and here it is, verse 23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And in verse 27, he says, now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. And then it says with an exclamation point in verse 28, Father, glorify your name. This is our Lord and his teaching here. Right after they showered him with praise and applause and worship as the king. And he turns around and he says, I came here to die, y'all. He didn't say y'all, but that's what he said. He said, I came here to die. Y'all need to understand why I'm here. And it's interesting to me that he says, in the very beginning of this statement, he says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. Now, my wife and I have been kind of going through some seeds for the garden and deciding what we're going to plant and what we're not going to plant. And all the seeds that we have so far, we've had since last year and probably the year before that. And none of them have sprouted since they've been in the package, because they haven't died. And they haven't been able to produce anything. And Jesus is saying, he's talking about himself. He's like, look, I came here to die, because if I don't do this, you won't live. You can't have life unless I die. Which takes us over to Romans chapter 6. Uh-oh. Go back one. Romans chapter 6. Hope nobody's rearranged. Na, 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 na. All right. Put me Romans chapter 6 up there. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. I don't have it on the screen. I had it on there. I added it later. But Romans chapter 6 says the penalty for sin is what? Right. The penalty, or the wages of sin, is death. That's what Romans chapter 6 teaches. And that's where I want to focus today, because last week we talked about sin and what it is, and what happens when we sin, and why we sin, and the relationship that we have or don't have with God depends on whether or not we sin or repent of it. But here's Romans chapter 6. He says, for the wages of sin is death. But it also says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Probably one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. Because if this verse is either going to set you free, or it's going to make you dig in deeper. It's going to do one of the two things. Because all of chapter 6, and previous to chapter 6, but all of chapter 6, he's trying to teach about the master of your life. Who are you slave to? Who do you give in to? Who do you surrender to? Do you surrender to Satan and his wicked ways and sin and everything that it brings? Or do you surrender to God and what he offers? And we just noticed in John, when we read John, we noticed what he said there. Anyone who loves his life will give it up. There's good news and bad news here in verse 23 of our scripture. Here's the bad news. The penalty for sin is death. We talked about that last week. That's bad news. No, whatever way you look at it, it's bad news. What does it mean, death? I hope you guys realize that everybody in this room, everybody in this world will die one day. I hope nobody's under the delusion that they're going to stay in this world forever. There are people in the world that just think they think they're going. When I was 15, I thought nothing could happen to me. But that's just being a 15-year-old young man. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, when Adam and Eve decided to disobey God, when they decided to choose their own desires instead of being obedient to God's instructions, then they found themselves at odds with God, as we talked about last week. The consequences came in these verses, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16 and 19. A lot of things were said, but I want to focus on verse 19. He says, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are and dust you will return. It's part of the curse. Death. Physical death. We die now because sin entered the world. We're born into a world that's contaminated by the effects of sin and wickedness. And it's the moment we come from the womb and begin to take air into our lungs, we begin the process of dying. Sometimes it takes a while for that to happen, and sometimes not. God's in charge of that. But you understand that the consequences of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But it's not just physical death. Right? Because we were born into that consequence. But remember last week, we pointed out that I make decisions, you make decisions, we all make decisions to offend God. So there's more consequences for that. How about the spiritual death? You ever thought about the spiritual death? The spiritual death is just being dead in your soul. Spiritually, there's nothing, there's no life. You ever come across anybody or met anybody or heard of anybody and they just have no concern for anything good? There are people in this world that live that way. And everything they do, and however they live, it's like they don't even have a heart sometimes. They could care less about what's good or what's right. It's total selfishness. Because their soul is dead. It's a black heart. Their spirit is shriveling up like a fruit that's been left out and it just rots. That's what happens when we get away from God. Remember last week we said sin disrupts your relationship with God, and unchecked or unrepentant, you get further and further away from God. And the further away from God that you get, the blacker your heart becomes and the more callous it is. That's the wages of sin. That's what sin earns you, or you, that's what you earn when you sin, when you live in that sin. How about the eternal death, which is really, I would say, the most important of all three of these consequences, right? Because once we leave this world, whether it's by old age or sickness, or if Jesus comes back, we begin our permanent existence in eternity. Right now, we all are existing. We've begun our journey to eternity, and whether you're saved or not determines how that's going to end for you. I guess I'll just get to the point. It means you're either going to go to hell or you're going to be in heaven with God. You're either going to be in the presence of God or you're going to be separated from Him for eternity, and there's no changing that once we leave this world. Once we're out of the flesh, once the physical death happens, the eternal death is solidified. Or, as we've read in the end of this verse, the gift of God is eternal life. There's a solution to the problem. That's where we should be praising the Lord right now. Why are we talking about it? It's Easter. We're supposed to be celebrating His resurrection. It's Palm Sunday. We're supposed to be excited about our King. I am. I'm excited about Jesus. I try to stay excited about Jesus and His lordship in my life and everything that He's done for me. But the only way I can get properly excited about Him is to look at the reality of who He is. And if I'm going into Easter, especially on coming up on Good Friday, and I'm going to properly reflect on my Savior, I have to look at these things. I have to look at why did Jesus come here, and why did He come here for the purpose of dying, especially the way that He did. Because the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin is death. Because God is a just God, He must collect the debt. Because He's holy, He must collect the debt. He must deal with His enemies. If He doesn't do that, He's not just, He's not perfect, and everything in this Bible could be under question. So He has to collect the debt. Isn't that great? Well, it's only great because of His love and His mercy, right? Because He's got this master plan on how to solve the problem that He has to collect the debt. It's not that He's doing something He doesn't want to do. You see, God will not tolerate His enemies. He doesn't tolerate other gods. He doesn't tolerate the offenses that come against Him. He won't and doesn't want to tolerate that. So he makes a way so that we can all decide, make a decision. Every person he ever created can make a choice to be an enemy of God or be in the family of God. You see, the story of the prodigal son is the this is the response. That's the response to this verse. Right? He says, the wages of sin, what you earned, a wage or a penalty or a payment, is something that is earned. Right? Most people who play sports or watch sports don't realize that penalties in sporting events are things that people have earned because they broke the rules. I like to watch hockey. I don't watch it a lot, but I like to watch it every now and then, because when they break the rules, they got to go sit in a box for some time. They don't get to keep playing. They got to go sit down. It's obvious that you broke the rules. And so go sit down and wait. And the rest of the team has to suffer because now they got to play one man short. And it shows that consequences affect not only you, but everybody else. He earned that time because he broke the rules. Death is what's earned. Spiritual death, eternal death, physical death, that's what we've all earned. It's what we deserve. It's what we are. It's what our actions call for. And if God is holy and just, He must collect the debt. We should, if that's the end of that statement, if that's the end of that verse, we should all be, we should all fall dead from fear. Like, literally just fall down and die from the fear of God and His righteousness and His wrath. But praise God for the end of this verse that says the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. So now we get to the good news. First off, it's a gift. A lot of people don't like to receive gifts, or they don't know how to receive gifts. They flat out reject gifts because, I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're uncomfortable. Maybe it's because they just don't like to get gifts. Maybe it's just because they feel like shouldn't receive something from somebody and should be given. I don't know what the reasons are. But the only way to get into the presence of God and defeat death is to receive the gift, the free gift that God gave, that God provided for you, the love that God provided for you, the gift that He gave you because He loves you. It's an unmerited gift. You don't deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. You have no right to this gift. But yet there it is. Isn't that great, y'all? It's right there. All we have to do is follow God's instructions when it comes to this gift. Just because God has offered the gift doesn't mean everyone receives the gift. If y'all try to give me a gift, if I don't take it from you, then you haven't been able to give it. Because I haven't received it, I won't take it. It's not that you didn't try, and it's not that you didn't love. It's because I did not receive it and didn't want it, and I rejected it. It's a gift of love. You cannot make someone love you, accept your love. You can't make people accept your love. You can continue to love them, but you can't make them receive your love. Make sense? This is why when people believe that everybody's going to heaven because God loves everybody, and that's the end of their theology. That's the end of their understanding of God and His love. And it's deeper than that, because it has to be deeper than that in order for God to be able to collect the debt and forgive the debt at the same time. He has to collect it. Therefore, Jesus goes from John chapter 12 that we just read. He's like, look, if a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it dies. If I die, if I get on the cross and die the way that I'm going to, then you will have life, and that's the only way for you to have life. It's the only way. There is no other way for this to happen. Because it has to keep happening. in line with God being who he is. So it's proper. I think it's proper to come into church on Palm Sunday and wave the palm branches around and celebrate the fact that we have a king who is Jesus. I think it's very proper. But we have to understand who he is and what was about to happen in that day. Because if we don't do that, if we don't go into this truth and dive into this truth and dissect it and absorb it and make it let the Spirit have his way in our hearts with it, then we're just as guilty as the people that were there that day. When it came to not understanding the reality or totality of what was going to happen and what did happen and what must happen. Imagine, put yourself in the shoes of these people. They're in the streets and they're praising Jesus as the king. He's our king right here. Finally, we have a king. We're going to be free from our slavery, meaning slavery to Rome and every other nation in the world that wanted to keep the Israelites as slaves. And they were overjoyed and excited, and we would have been. And just days later, here he is being beaten and hung on a cross and bleeding out. What's even more baffling is everybody watched him allow it to happen. He never fought back. He never tried to stop him. And I don't know about y'all, but if I'm going to have a king, it seemed to me like I'd want him to put up some kind of fight. Because that's what kings do. But they just didn't understand. They couldn't understand that he, in the act that he was doing, allowing himself to be crucified in that manner, that was his fight. That was his battle over death. And in the end, as we come to Easter Sunday, we're going to see that he claims victory over death. Isn't that great? It's not only that he overcame death and came out of the grave, it's that we overcame penalties for sin through Christ. This is like the whole time of Easter celebration, every year, it should just continue to build up in excitement for us as believers. We should can't wait to read the stories again of how Jesus defeated the enemy, the wickedness, defeated the consequences of our own actions. Because we know how guilty we are, and we know what we deserve. And we know that God has every right to collect on the debt, and did collect on the debt. You didn't get a pass. The debt was paid, y'all. It was bad. It was bad. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Right? Because the gift, the free gift, well, I say it's free, but I always disagree with myself when I say it's free, because it did cost. Right? It's free to me. But Jesus paid. Our Lord, my Savior. Because of what we talked about last week. Because of sin. Because we chose to just flat out offend our holy God, our Father, the one we sung about this morning, our good, good Father. The gift of God is eternal life. It's nothing that's going to wear out. It's not going to wear out. So when we receive this gift, right, it's not only eternal life, like, I'm never going to be in hell. That's a good thing, right? There's too many people just saying, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and then they get baptized because they don't want to go to hell. I think it's a pretty good reason, but there's more to it than that. Y'all, we get to spend eternity with our Savior in the presence of our God because of Jesus. Because God and only God can collect a debt and forgive it at the same time. Dr. Jack Cottrell, he's one of the professors that I studied under at Cincinnati. He's written a lot of books. He says in one of his books, there's no such thing as death from natural causes. It's always a result of sin. And then, have you ever thought about things like that? When I was 15 or 25, if I did something crazy and almost died, I had two emotions in the middle of that. One was, that was awesome. I almost died. And two, the second one was total fear. I was like, man, I almost died. Because I didn't want to die. I was afraid to die. I didn't know anything about dying. Got my attention for a minute, and then a couple days later, I'm out doing foolish things again. But then when I got saved and I started understanding this truth about God and His consequences and His grace and His mercy and this death that we all deserve, and then this gift that comes from God through Jesus on the cross, and then I look at the magnitude of what Jesus had to do, He couldn't have just been killed, like, instantly. He went through some stuff. He went through a long, agonizing death, torturous, embarrassing, dehumanizing death, because that's what the bill called for. That was the debt. And He said, yes, that's what I'm here for. That's what I came here for. Isn't that what He said? Right there in verse 27 of John chapter 12, He says, now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. You're like, what am I going to do? Ask the Father to save me from this suffering? You know what that tells me when He says something like that? It tells me that He's thinking about me and you. He's thinking about, why would I ask God to spare me from this when I know what's going to happen to these people if I don't do this? I hear Him saying things like, I love you too much to ask God to spare my suffering. Whether I like it or not, I have to accept this gift. That's my personal statement. Whether I like how the gift was presented or what it took to get it to me, I have to accept it that way. I wish it was easier than that. I wish I didn't have to see our Savior all beaten and tore up on the cross like that. I wish it was just easier that God would just snap His fingers and everybody would be fine. Because He could do that too, because He's God. But it wouldn't be a just God. But you know what? This all happened because God wants you to be with Him. He refuses to accept the fact that you won't be with Him, or you shouldn't be with Him. He makes a way for you to be with Him. Now look, the only thing it doesn't solve is the physical death consequence. But if you think about that, that was intentional as well. Because we all know that this is not our permanent home. This is not where we're supposed to be. This is not what we're created for. We're created to be with Him. God created all of us to be with Him. Our life in this world is for us to be able to receive this gift, get the information, make our decision. Do we want Jesus or not? Do we want God or not? Do we want eternal life or eternal death? That's the consequences of sin, eternal death. The consequences of accepting God's love and submitting to God as our Jesus as our Lord and Savior is eternal life. It's a day of reckoning. That's what it came down to. You know, we keep saying that one day Jesus is going to come back. We keep saying that because we believe it to be true. And when that happens, it's all over. I saw a sign the other day. I was driving down the highway. I think I misread it. But you know how these businesses, they advertise, they want to sell you something. So they advertise, look, no money down, no payments for 12 months. And everybody's like, ooh, I got to go get that. And then for 12 months, they're enjoying the fool out of whatever they bought. And then the bill comes. And many Many who bought into the deal couldn't afford it to start with, and now they got a bill they can't pay. The payment is due. When Jesus went to the cross, it's because the payment was due. It was time. It was time to collect. It was time for God. It was a reckoning. It was time for God to make right what was wrong. Everything that was promised in Genesis chapter 3 became a reality when Jesus went to the cross. This is what happened on the cross, y'all. This Friday, we should pause sometime in our busy day. We should pause and recognize that Jesus died on the cross. And it wasn't just some, it's like a simple statement. Jesus died on the cross. We say it a lot. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. What if we understand what happened, I don't think we would say it so quickly and that we would say it so easily. Jesus taught us that something has to die in order for something to live. Even when Adam and Eve were found to be naked and in shame and realizing it, they were aware of their nakedness and their shame. They tried to cover themselves their own way, and God came and shed blood to make proper clothes for them so that they would properly be covered. This is the way God properly covers our sin. Jesus on the cross. That's what he does. Shed blood on the cross. That's what covers your sin. That's what properly covers your shame. I'm not happy about all of that. I'm happy about the second part. Because of that, we have the free and beautiful gift of life. Everlasting life. And all of that makes me have spiritual life. I'm growing every day. You're growing every day. As long as you're in Christ and you're continuing to get close to God, your spirit becomes alive. Your soul is living again. It belongs to God through the blood of Christ. I'm not afraid to leave this world, y'all. Not even for a minute. Now, I got a long list of ways I don't want it to happen, but that's beside the point. Right? I'm not afraid to leave here. Whenever the Lord says it's time, it's time. Until then, we're going to try to keep doing what the Lord calls us to do. As many people as we can get their attention, share with them that Jesus died on the cross. And there's a reason for it. Extend that love. Extend that gift to everybody. Because come Easter, if we're just jumping up and down because Jesus came out of the grave, it means nothing if we haven't accepted the gift. All right. We're going to sing together. We're going to praise God together. If you're not saved, now come down here and say so. Look, I want to be saved. I want to know what it means to be saved. If you know what it means, let's just make that confession. Say, I know that Jesus is the Christ. I want to repent. I don't want to be an enemy. And I want to be baptized. And I want to get on with this spiritual growth thing. If you need prayer, come down here. I'll pray with you. Otherwise, let's just praise the Lord together. You ready? Let's sing together. Stand together.